Welcome to Another Block Studios, episode 6. With Another Block, you can earn a share of your favorite song and earn royalties alongside your favorite artist.
So we're back and we're really excited to chat to Mango. So Mango is a creative director at a project called Charged Particles. Now, this came about because we were speaking to Matt from Unchained Music, and he was telling us that his project is developed on a protocol named Charged Particles. And so we thought, oh, we should look into that. We looked into it, and it looks really interesting. And so we reached out, and they were really keen to jump on and chat. So we're going to chat with Mango, and I'm excited. What do you reckon, Isaac?
It should be a pretty good one. This will be our 6th episode of Another Block Studios.
That's
right. We're excited to be releasing it. Our last one was Lenny, so that one
Was a hit too, right?
That one was definitely a
hit. I heard the editor said it was the best one since we've started. Is that true?
Yeah, well, that's I heard the same. I had similar things, so so that was nice. Really good to hear. Yeah.
And one other clarification: sometimes at the end of podcast episodes, I talk about an upcoming character who's going to come onto the podcast. Well, he's such a character. He hasn't come on yet. So this is not him either.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, great hoodie. Show that hoodie.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. From I guess it was from November's NFT NYC. I missed this one, but gotcha. Figured since everyone's just coming back from it, I'd represent a little bit.
100%. A few of our crew went down. Isaac and I didn't get the opportunity, but
yeah,
maybe next time.
I hear lots of folks got sick this time around, so you might have missed a good one.
Oh, true. Good call.
Andreas did say that actually.
Yeah, he did. He mentioned he was a bit sick.
Yeah.
So Mango, thank you so much for jumping on. The history is that we were chatting to Matt from Unchained Music. And because I guess we talk a lot about music NFTs specifically. So anything outside of that is going to be a learning curve for our audience. And so, gotcha. And so we were chatting about his protocol and what his project is built on. And then obviously Charged Particles came up a lot. And so we feel super honored to be able to chat to you now about how that actually works.
Sure. Yeah. Excited to chat as well. And can try to, start from some of the building blocks as well for people in the audience that might be learning a bunch of stuff today.
Yeah, that could be awesome. We watched a bunch of YouTube videos and stuff like that, and the content's awesome. And so we'll definitely be pointing people towards that as well. So easy to watch, and you're a great presenter. So looking forward to it.
Cheers. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Excellent.
Maybe just the question off the bat. I know you're the creative director there at Charged Particles. Could you maybe just tell us about what you do day to day and what that looks like for you?
Sure. Yeah. So I guess I'm about a year and a half now at Charged Particles and started on the community side of things. So bringing people in, especially looking for folks that were interested in utilizing our technology to build new models like Matt from Unchained and other projects like that. So initially my sort of day to day was community, curatorship and building a community of builders. And so now it's it can vary at times, still maintaining a lot of the, sort of the community side of things and starting to uplift our governance structures and getting people voting and discussing on, the governance forum and the snapshot and that sort of thing. So that kind of community organization is still part of my day to day. But really trying to help inspire, maybe the next generation of builders, and as we're getting closer to having tooling built out, an SDK for developers to take our tools and build it into their own ecosystems, trying to find more motivated people that are like, oh, I need this and I know how to do it, rather than coming to us and asking us to do things for them, trying to identify people that are out there innovating and get them inspired and that sort of thing. And I've also got a few of my own sort of creative endeavors that, utilize Charged Particles in novel ways and that sort of stuff. So a little melange of everything, so to say.
One of the default NFT contracts on the platform, so it's called a Proton, and it's created using that ERC 721 with a few extra properties is kind of the way that the white paper puts it. So on the protocol overview, it says that it's fully interoperable. Does that mean that any platform that takes that ERC 721 token is able to accept and trade with a Charged Particles NFT, or how does that work, and how does it show up on another different platform?
Yeah, sure. There's a couple layers to that question. So one is that, you know, if you're coming to our platform, you know, our marketplace and our art dApp, so to speak, you know, that if you're minting new NFTs within our, you know, ecosystem, that you know, that they come naturally with these extra properties, you know, that is that they can hold their own tokens, you know, that you can put tokens inside these NFTs. And those NFTs themselves are completely non-custodial. So you can go, you know, list them on OpenSea or put them up in CryptoVoxels or whatever. I guess what we mean by interoperable here is that other NFT contracts that, you know, say you minted an NFT on Rarible, or, you know, you released your own, you know, 10K PFP project or something like this, is that we're able to allow list to these other contracts so that even though they were made maybe even before ours, that retroactively they can come in and utilize these smart wallets and hold their own tokens and that kind of thing. So we're moving to the stage in our development where you don't have to be minting your NFTs on the Charged Particles platform in order to use this composability. And I guess it also refers a little bit to that we strive to be blockchain agnostic. You know, we're live on Ethereum and Polygon at the moment, and are looking at third, fourth, fifth blockchains. You know, it's sort of a matter of in what order and when we have enough resources to move to each one. But we'd like to be as agnostic as possible when it comes to chain choice.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. Okay, can I take a step back here? So you're basically allowing you're facilitating the technology that allows people to nest other digital assets within an NFT. So that can be other NFTs, or that can be other cryptocurrencies. Is that about right? And so could you talk about maybe a use case for both? And then maybe just touch on a little bit your connection with Aave, a liquidity pools, and how that works as well. That'd be really awesome.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, just like on the most basic level, we allow you to turn your NFT into a container that can hold a bunch of different kinds of assets inside of it. So as you mentioned, that can mean other NFTs, you know, one of ones or 1155s, or it can be ERC-20 tokens. And that can mean lots of things, you know, like social tokens or interest bearing Aave assets or liquidity provider tokens or social tokens or POAPs, you know, proof of having been to NFT NYC, for example. You know, any of these things can now be stored inside an NFT. And when that NFT, you know, is transferred or sold or burned or whatever, that those tokens go along for the ride, which lets you kind of weave some interesting new layers of value together. There's a couple different, you know, use cases for NFTs themselves. So, you know, like bundling assets together is really interesting for, say, artists trying to sell a whole collection, or you know, a conference, for example, that wants to do swag bags with a bunch of different tokens from different sponsors, or like prize pool bundle kind of situations. Or, you know, looking down the road a little bit, you know, where I want to store all of these items in my metaverse parcel inside the parcel itself, you know, and so like I could sell like a completely furbished parcel or something that's got art up in it and, you know, assets I've collected and whatever. You know, for ERC-20s, I mean, you spoke with Matt from Unchained, you know, that's a really interesting application of using interest bearing tokens inside an NFT. That's like the NFT is now an account, you know, so you could have like different accounts for different projects, different teams, different subdivisions of your DAO that are all earning interest, you know, as their own sort of separate savings accounts and that kind of thing. But there's really lots and lots of use cases that we're seeing explored, but those are just a couple of examples.
Yeah, something I find really fascinating is the concept of that non-custodial system, you know, because taking something from one platform and completely just dropping it into a completely different platform is a really fascinating element, I guess, of DeFi and decentralized life. So I think that a lot of the platforms that are coming out now, often some of them just aren't, they don't have that level of interoperability. They don't have that level of being able to take something and drag and drop and put it somewhere else. One thing that I was wondering about was you were talking about that OpenSea, for example, before. How does a currently charged particle show up in OpenSea? Is it fully integrated yet, or does it have to still be integrated into OpenSea's system? Like, do they have to do any more developing, or can the sale actually happen on charged particles, or can it happen on other marketplaces?
Yeah, so the NFT itself is non-custodial, and you know, a good chunk of the contract is what you would come to expect from an ERC 721. So if I mint an NFT on charged particles and fill it with 10,000 USDC and go to OpenSea, you'll see the JPEG or the GIF that is the NFT, you know, or the package, so to speak, of the NFT. But that the 10,000 interest bearing USDC inside, well, OpenSea's UI doesn't know that that's there, or doesn't have a you know, an infrastructure to call the contract and see the blockchain and know that it's there, then to display it for you. So that's really the next steps is, and which is why we're building a software development kit for developers to you know, take our contracts and to be able to display them in whatever way makes sense for their part of the ecosystem. But at the moment, the only sort of like window into the subatomic sort of universe of this NFT, if you will, is through the charged particles marketplace. But we'd like that to be everywhere, you know, because it's obviously in the interest of a place like OpenSea to keep people on OpenSea. So we want to build all the tools that anyone would need to add that sort of functionality to their ecosystems.
Yeah, gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so in preparation for this, I thought it'd be fun to like maybe go on there and mint an NFT. So I went on and I like followed your like tutorial YouTube video, like which I fully recommend. It was great. And so there's a few parameters there that I thought maybe we could clarify what they are. And so sure. The first one is, I think the way you treat creator royalties, there's sort of two segments to that. Could you talk sure. about, you know, in your space where we're now talking about interest-bearing NFTs, could you talk about how that works, and then even how you can assign that to a third-party wallet and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, most people are familiar with the idea of a resale royalty. So maybe I take 10% off of the resale of this NFT that I've made. I also, just as a small note, I feel like the space has agreed that 10% is kind of a fair number, but that seems still too low to me for artists in terms of, you know, resale of their IP, but maybe that's a whole nother podcast, but you know, so that's one sort of aspect of it. But you know, if you're earning interest within an NFT, that we wanted that the interest itself, that annuity, to be a royalty, a programmable sort of royalty stream, because you could really start to build out some interesting stuff within like gaming contexts and, you know, some of the DeFi Legos. So when you're minting an NFT, you can say like, well, if there are interest bearing tokens in here, that I want to be able to take X percent of that interest earned. And that can either come back to me, the creator, or it could go to a third party wallet, say to like a charity, you know. And so there's some really interesting mechanisms that you can start to put together for like the ReFi space, you know, using DeFi for regenerative sustainable models and, you know, like redistributing interest programmatically to charity initiatives and that kind of stuff, or, you know, lots of other models in this direction.
Yeah, that's really cool. And speaking of the future potential models, we've seen a lot of great achievements so far, including the DAO launch on the roadmap for Q4 2022. In terms of rolling out charged particles to other platforms, is there more of a plan for building more of those like DAOs specifically? And what are you most excited about for future projects for use of charged particles?
Yeah, so there's a few. You know, I think, as I mentioned, we're getting pretty close to having an SDK ready, which means that, you know, protocols that want to be, especially, you know, projects like games that, you know, want to have like really smooth, you know, tooling built out within their gaming experiences. You know, and so I think the world of Web3 gaming is an exciting one that's not fully mature yet, but it's getting closer. And I think, you know, composability is an important tool in that. You know, in that story. So I would say lots of gaming projects, I think, are, you know, and some that we've talked to already and some that will arrive out of the woodwork in the next couple of years. Unchained Music, of course, we've spoken about a few different times, is like phenomenally exciting to me. So I'm really, you know, anticipating, you know, their success in the coming years. Yeah, and then basically, you know, there's a, it depends, it ends up coming down to a project by project thing. You know, some some projects, you know, just want the functionality to exist so that, you know, that they can, you know, they don't want to do a ton of development work. They just want their contracts to be allow listed. And some are like, well, I have this idea for a whole new platform and just, you know, like, just give me the tools and I'll take care of it myself. So there, you know, it's a couple different sorts of perspectives depending on, you know, is this a marketplace that wants to sort of edge out another bit of functionality against the other marketplaces in that competitive part of the space? Or is this a PFP project that's, you know, trying to differentiate itself from the, you know, 100,000 other PFP projects? You know, so those are a couple different integrations we see. Yeah, and then, yeah, I think some specific sorts of partnerships for new products as well. But yeah, more to come, I guess, in those directions.
That's mad. That's so cool. Okay, so just maybe talking about that SDK, which I think in your roadmap, it was like due Q3 this year or something like that. And you've ticked a bunch of other stuff off, which looks super awesome. So congrats on that. For those who aren't aware of the terminology, could you explain sort of what that is and maybe how that's one element of what you do, which is provide it to sort of, it's almost like a business to business transaction, maybe just to try and put it in a different language. And then your actual platform itself, where maybe more like a consumer can come on and create the NFT in that situation.
Sure. So let's just use an example of well, okay. First, SDK meaning software development kit. So like, how do we take the complexities of our smart contracts and put them into a usable, like Squarespace website builder type app, kind of, you know, where click and pull and drag and very easily use these tools or, you know, something along these lines. But if we took like an example of like a PFP project or some sort of a Web3 gaming situation where, like, imagine I've got like a character that's an NFT of some sort in some sort of game context, and I complete a few quests and I unlock a particularly new cool sort of like accessory, like wearable such and such, and there's tokens within this economy that I can collect, and I can hold all of these like in sort of like my bag or my, you know, my chest, my trunk in my metaverse parcel, and depending on what tokens I have stored inside that character, like in my pack, you know, if I have 10,000 tokens and I've completed these quests and I'm holding the right sword, then the metadata of my NFT might update and level up. And, you know, we can start using composability, you know, like programmatically, you know, determining whether or not a character has reached, you know, all the requirements to level up, or, you know, start to really start gamifying the space in a different way. And so, if I'm a developer trying to make a game like this, I don't want the people to like have to quit the game, you know, to go over to Charge Particles to put the sword in their character, you know, on our UI and then come back to the game to keep playing. You know, they want to use those tools in their own context. And so the SDK, which is very, very nearly around the corner here, will allow developers to do that in whatever contexts make sense for them.
Yeah. Putting it in Fortnite terms really helped me there. So no, that was really good. I find that one of the things, like for example, Vitalik originally made Ethereum just because he was so angry with World of Warcraft or whatever, because he lost his gear that he'd leveled up and he got really mad. So, and then it became the second biggest, you know, cryptocurrency that exists today. So it's a really cool concept, I think. So in terms of one of the a couple of the main purposes around Charged Particles, I noticed one of the main ones is NFT bundles, which includes POAPs, which is proof of attendance protocols. So we actually had Lauren Turton on the show in episode 2, and she was talking about she uses those as a loyalty program in her Italian restaurant Ciao Ciao Piadina, which was one of my favorites there. It's a very cool concept, basically. Yeah, you collect a certain number of the NFTs and it's exactly like stamping your card at the coffee shop, you know. So do you think that this is something that'll be used more for conference tickets and event tickets and things like that, just to keep a record? Or do you think that there'll be actually more real world use cases after you attend the conference and you get some kind of real benefit there? Like, what are your thoughts around POAPs?
I mean, I'm a big fan of PoApp, of course. You know, they have an amazing team of people as well. Really like really great people over there. But yeah, I think PoApps just as a concept are an important way, you know, important building block in the like weaving together of novel incentive structures in a way that's like you earn value by having fun. You know, I go to a conference and I get a token that, you know, it proves that I, you know, have been there. You know, it's got that element of the, you know, the blockchain history, but then I can leverage that, you know, to create, you know, new value over time. You know, like a punch card, but with like significant like superpowers, you know, where I can really start awarding the community members that come tighter and tighter together, and that kind of stuff. And I think there are a lot of people always thinking about new ways to use those tools. So yeah, I think they're here to stay, you know, and they'll exist in different names over time. I suspect, you know, where, you know, that, you know, something like a PoApp exists within sort of a micro, you know, iteration of a community or things like this. But I think as a tool, it makes a lot of sense and we'll probably see it sticking around for a while.
Yeah. Right. That's super interesting. So in regards to the revenue model, if that even is a necessity, I was looking at on the white paper, sort of some comments that you had there. And I think one of them was like, you know, one way you could do it is on your marketplace. You could push up particular NFTs depending on if people, I guess, applied some sort of, I don't know, marketing towards that. And I think the other one was like, if people were going to mint an NFT, you could suggest, oh, why don't you put some DAO in this NFT, and there'd be maybe a small margin on that as well. Are they the two main revenue sources? And is that even really like, is a revenue source a necessity? If this is the goal here to just be totally decentralized? What's your thoughts sort of in that sort of topic?
Well, yeah, so there are a few different ideas we've got. At the moment, we're completely free to use protocol, you know, open source, and no fees for utilizing it. And that's mostly because we want people to be getting creative with it, and we don't want to sort of put a cap on that creativity. But now that we're seeing, you know, we've seen Unchained Music come to life, you know, we expect a few games to come to life, and, you know, some of these, you know, pretty specific sort of partnerships and whatnot, as well as like ideally integrating into the whole ecosystem where, you know, everyone's asking what is in this NFT, and you need to be able to see those tokens inside. So, you know, at the moment we're just in the sort of growing and expanding out as far as possible phase. But at some point, you know, it is possible to turn on fees at the protocol level, so that the DAO could say like, oh, we want to put on a, you know, 1 or 2% or whatever sort of fee on, you know, on transactions, on interest earned, on whatever, on different pieces of the equation. And, you know, and so that would be a decision that all the relevant, you know, players in the ecosystem have a say in. So that's one option. Some people have made mention of the possibility of licensing the SDK and tooling and that kind of stuff as well. That's another possibility. These are all things that, you know, are still yet to be discussed in the DAO. Eventually we will need, you know, a revenue model to continue building it in the way that we envision, but for the time being, we're just trying to find the right sort of, you know, builders and players and contributors and that kind of thing. But yeah, that'll be something that I guess we come across eventually.
One of the other main areas that I saw were utility NFTs. So one of the examples there was for building tokens for your project or your community to have a certain level of membership or access, to kind of have that exclusivity, like, hey, I'm a part of the club, I have this NFT. Is that something you could see being rolled out to a lot of like standard clubs, for example, say like a football club or something like that? Do you think that it's realistic to be able to implement that? Or do you think that there are too many, for example, barriers to entry for people to actually start to understand like, oh, what's a cryptocurrency? What's an NFT? What's a, you know, so how do you see yourself getting past that initial hurdle and actually kind of rolling that out if at all you think it's possible?
Well, I guess I'll start by saying that it should be everybody's responsibility in this space to help with onboarding in some capacity, but I wouldn't call us necessarily an onboarding protocol. You know, it takes enough time to learn about NFTs and DeFi, but then DeFi NFTs and all of those implications is just like another sort of, you know, we have it cut out for ourselves, you know, by pushing the tech in the way that we are. But I would say that if, you know, once we get to a place that, you know, that if people are comfortable enough using Web3 technology that it would be feasible to do, say, NFT tickets to a football match, that people, you know, like that once we get there, that we believe that a core functionality of those tickets is to be able to hold proof of attendance inside itself, you know. And so we do see like the necessity for our composability tools, but I don't know if we're necessarily the team to lead the way into getting NFT tickets to football matches, but once they're there, we will be there also, you know, something along these lines.
That's cool. I've noticed, like, as you're saying there, like, there's so many different, like, building blocks that different projects are building on top of. As you're saying that, maybe you're not the exact person to do that, but maybe you can partner with someone who is and provide the tech for it. Like, in your situation, like, let's say, for example, like the Aave liquidity pools that you provide access to, is that the same thing there? Like, are you building on top of someone else's protocol there, which is doing that automatic swap? Or is that like a partnership with Aave? Like, sort of how does the mechanics of that work?
Yeah, so we've just integrated Aave's technology, you know. So when you deposit, say, DAI or USDC into an NFT on our marketplace, it'll automatically shoot over to the, you know, DAI liquidity pool. It'll convert to ADAI and send the ADAI back to the wallet that's held by the NFT. So, you know, on a UI sense, it just immediately starts earning interest. But that sort of, you know, process is happening on the back end. Yeah, but that's just an integration of tooling that exists already. Yeah,
gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. In the same way that Unchained Music integrates, I guess, what you're doing. Is that sort of right?
Yeah, big, just, it's like a big stack. Yeah.
Yeah, which is really cool. When you start to learn that everything's sort of stacked on top of each other, which is how everything's built, right? It's how a car's built and everything. Yeah. So I was just looking at, I guess, the governance on your platform. And so there's a staking mechanism. You can sort of click the button up the top. So I did it. And so how do you say your native token? Is it like Ionix?
Yeah, we say Ion. I think, you know, it depends who you ask, I suppose, but I say Ionix.
Ionix. You know? Yeah, cool, 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 cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went through the process of going through that. And so I noticed that, you know, it takes you to Uniswap. And you can maybe swap some Ethereum for your token, and then you can come back to it seems to be, is this another situation where you're stacking on top of another protocol? It's called like
it's Geyser. Yeah, it's called Geyser. Yeah,
could you talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, initially we had built our own staking platform and maintained that whole thing, you know, with epochs of I think I'm gonna say it was, I think it's 12 weeks is what we did for v1 through v3. But Geyser does some really interesting stuff that allows us, without us having to rebuild this tool, allows you to stake your Ionix and earn more Ionix for staking it, but still to be able to use it while voting on governance measures on Snapshot. So with the staking that we had built out initially, and that was before we were really, you know, moving towards using our governance platforms and that sort of thing. You know, we didn't really need to be able to stake and vote, but Geyser has that tooling built out. So we've moved over that way for the V4 iteration, which is pretty exciting though. So you can, you know, you can be earning Ionix and still participating in governance votes, which we've started to ramp up in the last 2 months or so.
Yeah, that's really cool. So one of the areas on the website that we've kind of stumbled across was the Particleon. So can you explain this kind of concept? So I've seen that there's an NFT launch, and then there's a few other things upcoming. Is this kind of like a, I mean, if I had to guess completely, then like I'll be proven completely wrong here, but like it looks a little bit like a StarCraft kind of metaverse/game/ you know, play as your character kind of situation. Can you explain it? Is it a game? Is it just a metaverse situation? What's the concept?
Sure. So yeah, it was a tight sort of partnership that this was really the first team to embrace the you know, nested tokens as a part of a generative launch. So we worked really tightly with the Particleon team to help, you know, make that integration as smooth as possible as like a real proof of concept for you know, nesting tokens as a part of, you know, a greater token economy with these kinds of launches. And so they had some amazing art get made with these, you know, these aliens from the, you know, three different planets. And so what was interesting about this drop is that at the time of minting, you know, when you minted these NFTs, that they would, you know, come pre-generated with tokens inside them already, based on when, you know, during the mint you minted them. So, you know, like the people that are minting right away are getting a higher allotment of these tokens inside the NFT that then will be used for future developments within that ecosystem. And I'm pretty sure they have ambitions to turn it into quite the game over the next 6 months to 2 years or something. You know, building games takes some time, but it was a proof of concept that for these generative communities that building in interesting token mechanics like this can really help you, make a more robust community with like more interesting sort of, it's not just a piece of art and then, you know, founders disappear. But that like, okay, we can, this token can be used for this part of the, you know, that goes back into, you know, weaving all these things together. So that was really the first one doing it. We've got another one that's just launched, that I'm sort of leading the way on as another bit of a use case experiment called the Blue Chips, which you can see at weloveguac.org, which is the next project to be utilizing some of the charged particles technology within the context of an NFT community. So we're going to get to hopefully start playing with some ideas like, you know, like leveling up your profile picture based on how many tokens are staked inside and these sorts of things.
Wow. It's amazing. I feel like the gaming community is like a whole nother world. There's a lot of complexities. And so I guess charged particles adds a lot to that. That's really cool. So one other thing, some clarification would be awesome, is leptons. So it looks like it maybe increases the yield in NFTs. Could you clarify that a little bit?
Yeah, so it's been on the back burner for quite a long time because we've had to focus on some of the core functionalities of the protocol for the last few quarters. But they're very much on the roadmap still. And basically what will happen is, in an example where I put some DAI, into an NFT and it starts earning interest through this Aave integration, that eventually you will not just earn DAI, you'll also earn our token IONX. So that gives you a reason to leverage within an NFT rather than just going to Aave in the first place. Among these other interesting sort of woven layers that you can use them for. But so what leptons will do is boost how much INX you're earning inside an NFT. So that's sort of this, you know, another sort of layer of gamifying the DeFi process. But that's pretty shortly after the SDK on our roadmap. So once the tooling is out there for other people to really start building, then we'll circle back to this as an exciting new, you know, model within NFT yield farming.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's great. So coming back to sort of the gaming NFT gaming situation. There's the particle on which you kind of explained there. Then you've also got one of the use cases that's mentioned by charged particles is Paragon's DAO, as well as the whole idea there seems to be about blockchain gaming. Is this a completely separate idea from particle on? Is it its own separate project? And are they building a game, and is it like a whole decentralized team that's building that, or is it a specific actual cause there? Or?
Yeah, so Paragon's DAO is a partnership, and they're doing some amazing stuff. I'm sure that would be another interesting episode for you guys just to chat with the Paragon's folks. But we've partnered with them to help with during their token launch. So often when a token goes live, you'll have some amount of allocation set aside for team and investors and these sorts of things. And they're usually on some sort of a vesting schedule, you know, unlocked after X amount of time and, you know, streaming for X amount of time, or, you know, having these different so that, you know, the community can feel safe that they're not going to be sold upon. But with the charged particles NFTs, you can nest these assets inside and then lock the NFT for a certain amount of time. So you can kind of get at some of these vesting functionalities. So rather than having, you know, team allocation of tokens locked in a smart contract, you know, where it's just, you know, no one is touching this thing or no one can touch this thing, you could instead put those tokens inside an NFT, lock it, and then give that NFT to the team member. So they can't sell the tokens, they can't affect the liquidity pools, but they can hold it and potentially leverage that value in different ways, such as collateralizing that NFT, you know, this kind of thing. So leverage, you know, borrowing against an NFT on some of these NFT borrowing and lending protocols is an interesting possibility. But that's sort of a novel use case that Paragon's DAO used for some of their, if not all of their team allocation. I think the blue chip project I mentioned as well, that, you know, our the team founders will be locking their tokens inside an NFT for a year. You know, and so that NFT can still be used in like game contexts and staking contexts, maybe collateralized, but, you know, the tokens add this extra sort of novel utility there.
That's so fascinating. It almost sounds as though, is that like a similar concept to, for example, working at Google and your Google shares can't vest until a year after. But it's almost like it's a better solution because you can then borrow against your Google shares that you get for working for Google. And then you can use that money now as and like pay back an interest rate. And then at the end, you get like this great lump sum that gets vested out, or this partial lump sum, and then you get another partial lump sum, and then it sounds like such an interesting way to almost reimagine giving equity in a in a company. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know. So you know, I think we'd like to build out some of the more finessed tools about, like, you know, streaming it over time, you know, having it come out in several different blocks without needing to mint, you know, a bunch of different nested sort of Matryoshka dolls in order to make that, you know. It's a little slightly you know, bare bones at the moment, but we'd like to build out some of that tooling so that it is similar to what you might expect on some of these other vesting platforms, but, you know, within, you know, this newer context that can then be used differently.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. And I guess, like, on the borrowing frame of mind, I guess you could also put some sort of stable token or something like that inside an NFT, which is potentially more speculative, to give you some sort of better chance of borrowing against it. I suppose that's potentially a use case as well. So that's really interesting. Question, just as we finish here, I noticed, I think Dumpster Dive DAO is like something that you're a part of. Is that right? What is that? And where can people find a bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah, that one at present is... it's sort of on hold. It's sort of a funny little passion project of someone named Jordan Lyle, who you would also love to chat with if you haven't spoken to him already. Founder of lots of things, long-term crypto OG. And I just, you know, it was a release of NFTs about a copyright-free raccoons that then became a DAO of raccoons called the Dumpster. You know, looking for sort of shiny knickknacks in the NFT wasteland, so to speak. But it's kind of on pause at the moment. I think it would be cool to integrate some charged particle stuff there. You know, I'm always trying to, especially with the creative communities of, you know, crypto native people that are interested in exploring new tools, I'm always trying to introduce some of our concepts into those communities. But initially, it's just a bunch of silly raccoons. And, you know, would love to see some charged particles use cases show up at the Dumpster eventually. Yeah.
Sounds perfect. Can't wait. Okay. So, firstly, thank you so much for jumping on. I feel like it's gone so quick, but I think it's time. Where can people find out a bit more about charged particles? And then maybe even like yourself, where would you want to push them?
Sure. So our website is charged.fi. You can find us on most social media platforms at DeFiNFT, including Twitter and YouTube and these other places. And then personally, I'm Mango Dogwood on Twitter. Yeah, if you want to reach out specifically, I'm happy to chat with folks that are interested in, you know, integrating into, you know, novel use cases and whatnot. So my DMs are open and whatnot. But yeah, that's a basic rundown of charged particles. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming. That was amazing. That was a really good episode. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.